And turn with me to Genesis chapter 37 as we continue our study of Joseph. The main theme of our study is sold into slavery, but still sold out to God. Our lesson today, as we look at the life of Joseph, is going to emphasize a question that each of us need to ask ourselves: who are you depending on? Who are you looking to for your help, for your guidance, and for your instruction? And so look with me in Genesis chapter 37, and as we start this study, we're not going to get very far in the chapter because I'm going to get stuck on verse number 1. As we look at this particular verse in Genesis chapter 37, it occurred to me that there is something very interesting in this verse number 1 and verse number 2 that will bring out for us what was it in Joseph's life that influenced him to live for the Lord. And so if you look with me in verse number 1, it says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." And you've got to remember what time frame we're thinking of. You know, many times we lose track of the fact that Joseph was around before Moses, before the written word of God was available. And so Joseph was given instruction and tells us that Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. So Jacob, who is Joseph's father, lived in the land, it says, that where his father was a stranger. And Jacob's father was Isaac. And Isaac's father was Abraham. And so as we look at this, verse number 2 gives us the generations of Jacob. It's interesting that this starts off in verse number 2 with the emphasis on Joseph. Verse number 2 says, "These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old." And it goes on and tells us what he was doing. But the emphasis is on Joseph. If you look at any other genealogy, it doesn't begin like this. In fact, this particular genealogy of Jacob is not continued until you get to Genesis chapter 46. And so in the interlude from verse 2 to chapter 46, there's a description or a life of Joseph being revealed to us. So it highlights to us the importance of the life of Joseph. If you look over in chapter 36, it talks about Esau. And the generation of Esau, it goes into what normally you would think of a genealogy. It names all of the sons of Esau. It goes on and describes each one of them and who was born here and who begat who and who begat who. But in this particular chapter, verse 37, the emphasis is entirely on Joseph. And as we look at Joseph, we know that Joseph was a great leader in the nation of Israel. He was really the savior of the nation of Israel. He was one that was sold out to God. And as I mentioned before, that Joseph is such a wonderful picture of Christ. His life is pretty much impeccable. And the beginning of this chapter, the first thing that we learn about Joseph is the purity of his life, that he was determined to live for God. He didn't have the word of God like we have. He didn't have many of the influences that we have, but he had some very godly influences in his life. And the purity of Joseph is really the keynote of Joseph's life. He was pure in obedience. He was pure in faithfulness. He was pure in thoughts. And he was pure in his motives. And so as we look at Joseph's life, we look at him and say, man, that's the kind of life I'd like to live. I'd like to stand before the Lord and say, as the Lord would look at my life and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And many of the elements that are in Joseph's life, it would be great if they were in my life, if they were in your life. And as we think about Joseph and what it was that motivated him to have that kind of a life, we need to look at the influences that were in his life. You know, we have influences in our lives that have molded us, have taught us many things, some good and some bad. In Joseph's case, we need to remember that Joseph had some very godly examples, and that as we look at some of this information about Joseph, we need to develop the same kind of desire that Joseph had. And if you look with me in Psalms, there, Brother Sawyer always says, Brother Capel, you always go to the Psalms, you know? And but they're very instructional. Look with me in Psalm number 78, verses 1 through 8, as we think about the influences on Joseph's life. Many times we lose track of this. We think that Joseph was a great man because of his own greatness, but it's not so. He was influenced by godly men. And Psalm 78 brings home to us some information about how Joseph was trained in his upbringing. So in Psalm 78, this really is the pattern that each of us should follow in passing on the word of God to others. This is the pattern of godly influence. And look with me in verse number 1 of chapter 78 of Psalms. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So here, isn't it interesting in verse number 5 that God says that he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel? And when you look at that passage of Scripture, the idea of establishing a testimony in Jacob, that is the idea that there is a witness that this has happened in the life of Jacob and it should be passed on to his ancestors or his offsprings. And you know that Joseph was his offspring. And the fact that Jacob here is, it's really pointing to his natural offsprings. And when it talks about Israel here, it's talking about a spiritual offspring as well. And so here is Jacob who has, in his life, I do believe, he was an example of one that passed on the word of God as he was taught to his children. And I believe he taught Joseph many things that Joseph listened to, learned from, and lived for God. The influence of his father was a great impact on his life. And so as we think about the influences that he had in his life, we look at Jacob. You think about Jacob and what things he did in his life. You know that Jacob, the word Jacob has the idea of being a supplanter, being a deceiver, being one that when Esau and Jacob were born, Jacob held on to the heel of Esau as he came out. And the Bible says he was a supplanter and said that the elder, who was Esau, would serve the younger, who was Jacob. And here, I believe that Joseph heard all about the difficulties that Jacob had with his brother Esau. And Joseph was alive, and he was a young fella when they were going to meet Esau. The 400 men were coming. And I don't believe that Esau was coming with 400 men just to say hi to Jacob. I believe he was coming to kill Jacob because he was upset with his deceiving brother who tricked him out of his birthright. And Jacob here, I believe, talked to his son Joseph. He made sure that Joseph understood what was going on in his life. And you know that Jacob was a man that had a changed life. Amen. Jacob was a man that when he wrestled with God, and God changed his name. He said, you are a prince with God. Your name is Israel. And so here is Jacob who had a changed life because of his relationship with God. And he told his son Joseph, I'm sure, that Joseph needed to trust God because God was trustworthy. And as we think about the other influences in his life with our sanctified imagination, you think about who was Joseph's grandfather. Joseph's grandfather was Isaac. Isaac. You think about Isaac, you know, you remember Isaac when he went up to the mountain top with his father Abraham? He laid down his life willingly. There's no indication that when Abraham told Isaac, lay down here so I can cut your throat and sacrifice you to God, there was no complaining, no arguing. Just think of if you were there on the top of that mountain with your father, and he said, lay down here, I'm going to kill you, and God's going to raise you from the dead. I think you might argue with him, and you might even run away. But Isaac, he was a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he laid down his life willingly. And remember when they were going up the mountain and the other men that were with them, Abraham told the other men, he said, you wait here, we'll come back together. I think Abraham knew that God would raise him from the dead. He had faith. And remember that Isaac was a great example. And I am sure, at least in my sanctified imagination, I'm sure Joseph had at times sat in the tent with Isaac, blind Isaac, who was an old man. And do you think that Isaac did not tell Joseph some things about God and how that God had supplied all of his needs, how that God had provided a wife for him and all of these things? As you think about Joseph's influences, Joseph was influenced by Jacob, that man that had a changed life, Joseph's father. He knew the fact that his mother, Rachel, had been barren. And each of those great patriarchs of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, each of their wives were barren. And God provided a miracle for each one of them to be born. And so here is Joseph, who he knew that he was a miracle baby, because Jacob, I'm sure, told him all about the details. And Joseph had these godly influences in his life. And he was willing to listen. He was willing to learn. And he was willing to live in light of the influences that were influencing him to live for God. And so as we think about Isaac, the other influence in his life, his grandfather, who trusted God, and he, remember Isaac also, his wife had been barren, and God had provided him with a child, and that was Jacob. And so as we think about Isaac, the influence he had on Joseph's life, a godly influence, a man that believed that God would take care of him. And then finally, Abraham. Do you not think that as Joseph talked with Isaac, Isaac must have told Joseph about his father Abraham, who was Joseph's great-grandfather? I never met my great-grandfather, but I met my grandfather, and I would love to talk to my grandfather on my mother's side. He was a barber, and he didn't have very many flowery stories, but he was a dedicated man. His wife was a godly, my grandmother was a godly lady. She was an encourager, and she lived to be, I think, 95 years old, and she lived by herself the whole time. When she was 93, she was scrubbing her own floors. And you think, what kind of an influence did Joseph have with Isaac? He had all of the founding fathers of the nation of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were influencing him not to live for himself, but to trust God. God would supply. God would take care of you. God has given us a promise, and he is going to fulfill that promise. Abraham, who in our lives is the father of faith. Look with me in Romans chapter number 4. In Genesis 15:6, God said that Abraham was the father of faith, that he believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. And look with me in Romans chapter 4, as we think about the fact that the Old Testament confirms for us what is mentioned in the New Testament, and it is given for our instruction. The Old Testament's given for our instruction that we would learn and be able to trust God. And Romans chapter 4, starting in verse number 1, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. I imagine Abraham talked to Joseph through Isaac. Now, Abraham did not talk to Joseph because Abraham was already dead when Joseph was around. But Isaac, the son of Abraham, I'm sure told Joseph in my sanctified imagination that you need to trust God. Your great-grandfather, God said that he was accounted righteous by believing in God. You've got to believe God. You've got to trust God. You've got to put yourself in God's hands. And verse number 5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so here, Abraham taught Isaac. Isaac, I'm sure, gave some instruction to Joseph in having their sin forgiven, trusting God, believing God, and depending on God. And God was faithful to Joseph. And Joseph heard from his father how that God provided throughout his life, how that God changed his life. He must have heard from his blind grandfather, Isaac, how that God took care of him, and how Joseph turned out for the Lord. And you think about, why did Joseph turn out, and his brothers, his 11 brothers, they didn't turn out like Joseph did. They have a history of rebelling against God, going their own way, and they had the same influences, but I believe Joseph was willing to listen. He was willing to learn, and he was willing to put his life in God's hands, and he was willing to live it out in his life. And so Joseph listened, he learned, and he lived. And this pattern that Joseph learned from his influencers is repeated in the nation upon their pending departure from Egypt. Years later, when Joseph has had the opportunity to be reunited with his family. Years later, as they're about to depart from Egypt, this is what's said in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Has God changed his sphere of influence? Has God decided to do it differently now that they are gone through the slavery of Egypt and now they're about to escape? Deuteronomy chapter number 4 tells us that the same system that we mentioned in Psalm 78, the influence, the pattern of influence for God, is repeated here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse number 4. It says this, Moses is talking to the nation. He says, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. And he's talking about the fact that they've wandered in the wilderness, and those that rebelled against God, they're gone. And now these are the children going to go into the promised land. And verse 5 says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. It's Moses talking to them. That ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great that hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is on all things that we call upon him? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed of thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord God in Horeb. And it goes on. But the pattern there is teach it to your sons, and to your sons' sons, to your grandchildren, to your children, to your grandchildren. Pass it on down. And this is what happened in Joseph's life. He was determined to live for God. He had examples before him, and he would take that example and apply it to himself. and live for God. Joseph learned to pray and trust God as his great-grandfather and his grandfather and his father learned to trust God. And he was given instruction from his father and his grandfather, and he heard about his great-grandfather. And so many of the Psalms reflect this attitude that Joseph had in his life. Many of the Psalms of David reflect the same heart attitude that Joseph had, was demonstrated in the trials that came into his life, in the difficulties that came into his life. I have a little illustration that George Mueller said about building our faith. God delights to increase the faith of his children. We ought, instead of wanting no trials before victory, no exercise for patience, to be willing to take them from God's hand as a means, I say, and say it deliberately, trials, obstacles, difficulties, and sometimes defeats are the very food of faith. We should take them out of his hands as evidence of his love and care for us in developing more and more that faith which he is seeking to strengthen in us. That's George Mueller's quote. And so as we look at Joseph's life, he didn't look at trials and get bitter. He didn't look at difficulties and curse God. He looked at them as something that God had placed in his life to increase his faith, to realize that God was in control of his life and he was watching over them. Look with me in a couple more Psalms as we think about this truth that David is reflecting here in the Psalms that I'm sure was in Joseph's heart, and these Psalms bring out the kind of heart that we need to have as we're trusting God to work in our lives, as we depend on him and not ourselves. And before we do, let's have a word of prayer. I have marked in there when I'm supposed to pray. My wife reminds me not to forget to pray. And it just came to me. So before we do these Psalms and think about the impact that Joseph's life can have on us, let's ask the Lord to help us to listen and learn. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the encouragement we have, Lord, from your word to trust you and not depend on ourselves. Lord, we ask you to guide in each of these thoughts that we're going to look at here towards the end of my message, that you would work in our hearts and help us, Lord, to be seriously working and living for you, Lord, and depending on you because you are faithful. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 54, as we look at Psalm 54, a few more of these psalms that are really hit home where I believe Joseph drew strength from God and it was reflected in how he lived. Psalm 54 verses 1 through 4, this is a psalm of David. And remember that David was a man after God's own heart. So if we can look into David's heart and see what relationship he had with God, we can say, hey, if I can mimic that, if I can reproduce that in my life, maybe God can say that about me, that I am seeking after his heart. And the idea is that I want to please him with my life. And so here, Psalm 54 says, save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. And you notice the psalmist, who is David, he is not depending on himself. He's going to God. He's in prayer, talking to the Lord. Give ear to the words of my mouth, for strangers are risen up against me and oppressors seek after my soul. They've not set God before them. I can believe that Joseph could have said that about his brothers, that they were against him, that they were not considering God's will. They were not considering how to please God. They were considering about how to please themselves and get rid of this little guy that's bothering them, this 17-year-old pain in the neck that keeps telling them, hey, you guys are doing wrong. Hey, I'm telling Dad, that's not right. You shouldn't be doing that. And I remember my sister didn't like me either because I would tattle on her. And so here is Joseph, as he is, David, as he is reflecting a heart that wants to be surrendered to God. And I'm sure David had this, Joseph had the same kind of a heart. And verse 4 says, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. So here, Joseph knew that God was going to take care of him. The influences he had in his life, many times he said that, is there not a God? Is there, when the dreams were going to be interpreted, Pharaoh said, "Hey, I heard you can interpret dreams." He says, "No, I don't interpret dreams. There is a God in heaven. There is only one that can interpret dreams." And he was trusting God. God blessed his life when he was in prison. He didn't get discouraged. He continued to do his very best. And the jailer recognized that. And he said, "Hey, you can be in charge of everything down here. That's great." And Joseph didn't get bitter. Joseph was praising God and saying, "Lord, I want to please you. I'm depending on you to get me out of here." And so here, Joseph's heart's attitude is reflected in David's Psalms. And it says here in verse 5, "He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth." And you know that God is going to deliver. Verse 7 says, "For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eyes hath seen his desire upon mine enemies." And so Joseph was going to trust God. Psalm 56, verses 1 through 4, says this, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Can you imagine Joseph in prison saying that to God? "Hey, I'm trusting you, Lord. I don't care what man can do. You can protect me. You can take care of me." And Joseph is demonstrating for us as we do more study on his life how that he is totally surrendered to God. He doesn't want his will. He wants God's will. And one last psalm, Psalm 55. Psalm 55, 1 through 6. Psalm 55, 1 through 6. It says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." That describes Joseph's situation. His brothers hated him. His brothers envied his relationship with his father. They wanted to kill Joseph. And if it weren't for Reuben, he would have not, if he had not stepped in, they would have killed him. And so here is, I'm sure, Joseph's dependence on God. Look in verse number 16 and 17 of the same chapter. It says, "And as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me evening and morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." And so Joseph was determined to live for God. He listened to his influences, he learned from his influences, and he determined to live out a life that was dedicated to God, trusting God, depending on him. What are the influences in your life? What are the influences in my life today? In March, what is today's date? 15th? 13th. March 13th, 2019. What are the influences in your life? You know what? We have more influence in our life to live godly than Joseph had in his life. If you think about what you have a written record of God working in people's lives from beginning to end in the Word of God. You have God's Word right in your hand. Take advantage of what you have. Read it, apply it, and live it. You have that opportunity. Don't be like Joseph's brothers where all the instruction went in one ear and out the other. They wanted their own way, not God's way. God wants you to appreciate the Word of God that you have. Depend on it. Make sure that you have spent some time in the Word of God every day. It's your guide, it's your light, it's your lamp, it is your instruction. And it will help you to live a life like Joseph that's depending on God and not yourself. The more you are able to depend on God's word and believe what he has said is true, your life will be blessed beyond measure. Not only do you have the word of God, but you have a group of people that want to help you and go with you in your journey for God in this life that will support you, encourage you in your pursuit of God and his ways. You have a church family right here that is willing to follow the Lord as you follow the Lord and encourage you to to follow the Lord. Not like Joseph's brother, who did everything they could to stop him from serving God, making fun of him, deriding him, and throwing him in the pit, selling him into slavery, and thinking that they were rid of him. And God doesn't want our church family wants the best for you and for me. As we have the written word of God, we have a family, a group of people, that a church family to encourage one another. That's what each of us need to be, an encourager, a helper, to encourage each other to live for God. And so that is something Joseph didn't have. He didn't have the written word of God to go back to all the time and to have your faith encouraged and your faith built up through the word of God. And then finally, we have an under shepherd that feeds us and cares for us by means of the great shepherd's guidance that he studies in, and the influence he gets from the study of the word of God. And so as we think about what we have much more than Joseph had. We need to be thankful and appreciative of the things that we have. Hopefully we don't, the Lord doesn't stand over our church family and each one of us individually as he did over the nation of Israel and say, "Oh Israel, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you together as chicks under my wings, but you would not, you would not, you would not let me take care of you. You would not let me feed you." God wants you to be submitted to him so that you can trust him, so that you can put your faith in him and not depend on yourself. And so here we have the written word of God. We have a church family. We have an under shepherd, a pastor that we need to be grateful for. And what is the response to these influences in your life and in my life? We need to listen. We need to learn. And we need to live it out in our lives, that we would be certain that God is taking care of us. Ask yourself, are you listening? Are you learning? And finally, as a result of your listening and learning, are you living depending on God in every situation of life, as Joseph did? His life is an epitome of purity, a life that is submitted to the Lord. And what did he do? He listened to his influencers. He learned from them. And then he put it into practice. He lived it. And the Bible encourages us to do that. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it tells us that we should acknowledge God in all our ways, that we should make sure that we are submitted to him, that we're asking him for guidance, that we're reading his word. And as we, as the psalmist, as the Proverbs tell us, that we are to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will bless us. He will help us. And let's turn to that real quick so I can get it to you in the correctly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. As we think about this, is something that Joseph was able to demonstrate for us. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that's what we want. We want him to direct our paths. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, for your goodness. Thank you for the life of Joseph that we have recorded in the word of God that you've given us. Help us, Lord, to listen to it. Help us to learn from it, and help us most of all to live close to you and depending on you as you guide and direct in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.